Amen. Thank you, Allie. Well, good morning, beloved. It's good to be with you once again. I'd encourage you to pull out your note outline that we've provided in the bulletin for you this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're walking through a series of messages this morning that I've entitled Uncharted Territory. Just a quick reminder, Judy and I are looking forward to being with you Wednesday nights. We'll be starting an adult study for both males and females on Wednesday night that I've themed No Magic Formula, The Mystery of Prayer. And we're going to be wrestling with some really, really hard issues. For example, if God already knows what I'm going to pray, why pray? Does God need a pat on the back? Is that why we are to praise Him? What happens if I pray and God doesn't answer prayer? If God does answer prayer, would He have done it anyway? I mean, this is stuff that all of us talk about. And we're going to be exploring that. We're going to have some surprises. There's some people from Beulah here this morning that know what kind of surprises I'm talking about. Welcome, Jim and Karen as well. And so we're glad to have some folks visiting with us today that have been with me in our Wednesday night studies. Also, this is a reminder, Thursday there will be a church board meeting at 7 p.m. So for those of you who are serving the church board, Thursday at 7 p.m. You will be meeting. As we talked last week, we're walking through uncharted territory. That's based on a particular scripture that's found in Joshua chapter 3, verse 4, where God says to His people, "Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before." And one of the things that I suggested last Sunday morning was that all of us are walking through uncharted territory. All of us are going through circumstances in our lives, our families, our health, our finances, our marriages, our jobs, at school, uncharted territory. Some issues we've never had to deal with before. Issues with your kids, issues with your spouse regarding your health, your finances. It's uncharted territory. And how do you navigate when you've never done it before? Those are challenges. And we're going to be walking through over the next number of weeks this theme that we've got. Remember, we began last week saying that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Part of the reason they did that is that they were not ready to step into the promised land, and so God had to teach them trust. Part of it was because of a lack of faith that generation had to die off, and so that the only people who could walk into the promised land would be all those who were born in the wilderness, as well as Joshua and Caleb. Remember? They wandered around, and they finally came up. In the modern kingdom of Jordan, that would have been known as Moab in those days, the land of Ruth. They got to a location that would be on the west side or east side of the Jordan. As you're looking at a map, that would be to the right. On the left side, that's called the West Bank. Does that sound familiar? The West Bank. That's why they call it that. But on the east bank, there's a large range of mountains. It's the highlands area with a high plateau that's called the area of Bashan. Maybe you've heard that term in the Bible, Bashan. There's a mountain peak over there called Mount Nebo. They got to a place called Mount Nebo. It's still there. And as they were on Mount Nebo, Moses got up and he looked across the promised land. Remember, we talked about that last Sunday morning. And beginning up in the north, God began to show him all of the different areas that would eventually be allotted. At that point, they hadn't been, but he got up in the north. This is the area of Naphtali and Zebulun. He began doing this counterclockwise look at the promised land that he would never enter as long as he was alive. This is me standing on Mount Nebo. behind me, and we're at sunset. It's a beautiful, we've been there four times. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. Behind me is a statue, a sculpture of a pole with a serpent going up the pole. Do you see it? One of the most venomous snakes in the world is indigenous to this area. And remember in the Old Testament when people were bitten by the snake, remember the remedy? Look at the serpent on the pole and you will be healed. And so they lifted up this pole. And as if you looked there in faith, you would be healed of the venom of the serpent bite. And so right behind me, there's this inscription that says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up and draw all men unto himself. And so it's a beautiful time of the year. It was at sunset. I'm looking into the promised land, just as Moses was. This is what I saw as I looked. You can't see it right now, but this area, do you see this ridge right here? That is where the Jordan River is down beneath. This would be the Jordan down in there. And you can see, then this is the high, we're at altitude here. I'm looking to the west into Israel. What would this be right here? This is Jericho, modern city of Jericho, oldest continually inhabited city in the world. There's other cities that are older, Babylon, but they're not continually inhabited. They were destroyed. Jericho, people still live at Jericho today. Oldest continually inhabited city in the world. This is Jericho, and this is the plains. This would be the Dead Sea area. In fact, let me show you that. As I'm standing on Mount Nebo, I'm looking to the south. Picture in your mind. If you look to the west, you're looking towards the Mediterranean across Israel. If you turn to the left and look to the south, this is what you'd see at sunset. By the way, what would this be? The Dead Sea. Sodom and Gomorrah. And so had you been standing there, Lot probably would have, and his wife would have been fleeing from Sodom, and all kinds of either lightning or volcanic ash or whatever would have fallen from these very skies and destroyed the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, Abraham and Lot, Abraham said to Lot, you pick first, what area do you want? And Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked to the south and he chose the area of Sodom. And so this is just a beautiful, beautiful area, particularly at sunset. And as I said, when we're on top of Mount Nebo, we will read these scriptures and you just can't get through them because you just choke up. There's not a dry eye in the place. You feel like you're standing on the shoulders of giants. You know, I'm standing where Moses stood, looking into the land of promise. It's a wonderful opportunity if you ever have a chance to go there. This morning we're going to talk about, and last week and we talked about new normal. This week, facing fears. Put yourselves into the shoes or the sandals, as it may be, of Joshua. This would be a scary time for him. Not only am I dealing, as I look over my shoulder, with the death of Moses, my mentor and leader, I'm anticipating stepping into an area I've never been before. He had to be scared to death. And so that's why I wanted to talk about a little bit with you this morning. How do you face fears? You've got issues in your life. As a matter of fact, what I want you to do, I want you to take out your cell phones right now. If you got a cell phone, everybody take out your cell phone. Watch the screen. What is your greatest fear? What are you walking through right now that you're afraid of? Now, two of my greatest fears are spiders and heights. If I was ever on top of an 1,000-foot spider, I don't know what I'd do. But I'm talking about other kinds of fears. What's going on in your personal life? When I did this a few weeks ago at Brown City Camp, I bet I got close to 100 texts. They just started just boom, 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 coming in. And as I read them, they would absolutely break your heart. Absolutely break your heart. And so I want you to text me right now. What fear do you have right now? What are you wrestling with? What are you dealing with? What are you uncertain? And for most of you, I don't know what your cell phone is, so I'll have no idea of who's texting me. But I want you to go ahead and text me right now, and I'll go ahead and read them out loud to us. Pray for our daughter. We don't know where she is. Retirement, I don't know what to do. I fear the unknown. I'm afraid nobody will take care of me in my old age. I fear that I've missed God's direction. Our son is going through a job search. These are people that you're sitting with this morning. I'm afraid of health issues. I'm concerned that our kids won't continue in their faith. Show me the next step. I'm lost in spiritual warfare. I'm afraid that I will never physically or emotionally heal. These are people that you're sitting with this morning. I'm afraid that my granddaughter won't have anyone to love her after we are gone. They are going to continue to come in. As a matter of fact, I'll be getting these all afternoon, because there's some people's cell phones that don't work in the church. And I'll be driving home and this kind of thing is going to continue to happen. I'm afraid of always being alone and never finding my soulmate. My biggest fear, failing, and so I don't try. Pull out your note outline. I'm going to have you follow along as I read Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. What does God say to Joshua in the midst of his fears? Let me encourage you, and maybe you can even draw a little diagram. Many people think, watch, I want you to think of a continuum, a line that goes forever in both directions. Most people think that the opposite of fear is courage. That's not true. Listen to me. The opposite of fear is not courage. The opposite of fear is cowardice. you can have courage in the midst of your fears. People who win the Congressional Medal of Honor and guys that throw their bodies on hand grenades over in Afghanistan, when asked, were you afraid? Totally. Completely afraid. But yet you did what you did. I had to do that. So they had courage. You can have courage in the midst of your fears. Your fear may not go away, but you can still have courage. Now watch, and God basically says this to Joshua, follow along, get out your pen or pencil. I'm going to have you interact with the text. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your, what? Remember we talked about that last Sunday, your set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Does that sound familiar? Verse 6, circle the phrase, be strong. Would you circle that, please? And courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Verse 7, be strong. Would you circle that, please? And very courageous, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? I'm in verse 9. Circle the phrase, be strong. It's the third time it's appeared. And courageous. Do not be terrified. Would you underline the word terrified? Do not be discouraged. Put a box around the word discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Here we go. We're going to go ahead and get ready to walk through the text, jot down some of these things, these principles that I share with you at this time. How was Joshua feeling? He just lost Moses, so there's something in his past that he's wrestling with. He's getting ready to step into an unknown tomorrow, and so he's got not only rearview mirror issues, but windshield issues, past, future, and he's stuck in the present. Does that sound like anybody you know? Past, future, and here I am in the present. What was he feeling? Number one, he was feeling weakness. Why? How do you follow Moses? He knows, I'm not Moses. I mean, how do I follow Bud Walterhouse? I'm not Pastor Bud. See, you're used to Pastor Bud. You're used to Pastor Bud and Chris. You don't have Pastor Bud and Chris. That train's left the station. See? You're stuck with Joel and Judy for a while. Yeah, but they're not Pastor Bud. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. We're not. And we can't be that, see? And so all of us are going through this little dance here. I was texting back and forth with the worship committee and with Kobe and with Hannah this week, and it's kind of like, How do we do this together? And I gave this quote to Hannah. When you dance with a gorilla, you never quite know who's leading. And I told her, try not to think of who the gorilla is. And that well, it's this delicate dance, isn't it? You know? I mean, things are going to change at California Road Missionary Church. I don't want them to change. Well, they're going to change. They have changed. How do we navigate change? All of us feel inadequate. See, and all of us, it's a little scary, and we feel a little bit weak, don't we? Notice in verse 6, 7, and 9, you circled the phrase, be strong. Why would God say that to him? This is the reason. Because he was weak. You don't tell somebody who's strong to be strong. You tell somebody who's weak to be strong. See? And so Joshua's feeling extremely inadequate right now. He doesn't know what to do. I'm not up for this. How do I step into Moses' sandals? We'll discover next week that God's going to help him in ways that he wasn't aware of. Stay tuned. Come back next Sunday. Number two. If I can get this to work. And it closes down. There we go. Oops. He felt discouraged. Why would he feel discouraged? Well, because it's just overwhelming. Have you ever considered the fact that sometimes God will purposely put you into an overwhelming circumstance to teach you to depend upon him? My tendency, and I don't know, maybe I'm the only person in the room like this, my tendency is that I'll go it alone. I mean, I've got enough talent, giftedness, wisdom, experience. I can pull off most stuff in my own strength. Tragically, I do. And so occasionally God says, you know what? I'm going to throw you into the deep end of the pool without a life preserver, holding onto a bowling ball, and now you're going to have to trust me. And I'm wondering if part of the issues that you're dealing with right now that you texted me, my brother, I fear that my brother will never return to the Lord. I wonder sometimes if I'm making a difference. I wonder if God's purposely put you into that position to teach you dependency. Because you know what? You'll never learn it any other way. Did you see that word terrified that you underlined? See that word? You know what that means in the original Hebrew? Broken into pieces. Jot that in your margin. Broken into pieces. Joshua was a broken man. Sometimes God has to break you to remake you. Oh, but God would never break us. Oh, yes, he will. I'm alarmed because there is this theology that says God will never hurt me. That's not true. That's ridiculous. Of course he'll hurt you. Now, he will not harm you, but he will hurt you. Pain is an amazing deterrent. If you don't believe me, John chapter 21, the exchange between Peter and Jesus, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep, feed my lamb. Remember that? When Jesus asked the question, do you love me? This is what it says in John 21. Peter, I'm quoting, Peter was hurt when Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? Now let me ask you the question again. Will Jesus ever hurt you? Yes. Yes. He will not harm you. But sometimes he has to hurt you to get your attention, to teach you dependency. Sometimes I have to hurt my children as they were growing up. You know, sometimes I had to spank them. Now, I probably shouldn't say that because that's not necessarily politically correct today. But you know what? I'll tell you what, when I grew up, remember those little rickrack paddles that there was a little wooden paddle with this long rubber band and on the end was this ball and you kind of go, remember that? I never knew that was a toy. Because I was usually on the business end of that because my mom would either use that or a wooden spoon. See? And unfortunately, a lot of parents don't do that anymore. I'm treading on thin ice and melting quick here. Let me keep moving. You might say, you know what? I don't think I'm a fearful person. Let me share with you some of the cousins of the word fear. How about worry? Are you a worrywart? I am. anxiety, fretting, stress, sleeplessness. By the way, did you sleep all the way through the night every night this week? Now, there's other reasons I don't. Apprehension, uneasiness, deep concerns. You see, you're in pretty good company. All of us have fear. All of us face inadequacy. Number three, the Bible says he was also discouraged. How do I know? Look in verse 9. You put a square around that word. God said, do not be discouraged. Why would the Lord say that? Apparently he was. See? Discouragement is one of the number one weapons of the enemy. Some of us, and I'm one of them, can become easily discouraged, disheartened. And so there you have it. Weakness, fear, discouragement. Can any of us identify with those words? Weakness, fear, and discouragement. So, how do you deal with that? I'm going to give you some takeaways this morning. How do we deal with weakness, fear, and discouragement? It's in the text. Here we go. The first thing we see in the text is a recognition that God's presence was with him. That's the starting place. Joshua had to realize, he goes, man, Lord, I am over my head. And God's response is, of course you are. This is really difficult, absolutely. But remember, Joshua, I'm going with you. Watch. Verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Do you see it? Verse 5b. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 9. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Isn't it interesting that three different times, twice in verse 5, once in verse 9, God tells him, I'm going with you. And look up here, we see that he's dealing with three different issues. Weakness, fear, discouragement. Three different times God says, I'm going to be with you. You see, this is where you're going to lose your ball in the weeds. You think that you're having to face this issue that you texted me about, you think that you're having to do that on your own. And you're uncertain, you're fearful, you're worried, you're discouraged, and you feel inadequate. And the truth of the matter is, you're exactly right. You are. And this is the place that you're going to stumble. Because you think you have to fly solo on this thing. And truth be known, the Lord is with you. If I lose sight of that, I mean, I'm down the tubes, see. And so I've got to be reminded, and three times, why would the Lord say that in triplicate? There's something in Hebrew writing, there's a certain style in Hebrew writing. They refer to them as tertiaries or triplicates. God will repeat things three times for emphasis. Look at the different times in the Bible. You will see this three times repetition. Isaiah 6, as the angels flew around in the temple, what did the angels say? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. There's a reason, because that's a Hebrew literary device. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of sinners, or stand in the way of scoffers, or sit in the seat of, remember that? Triplicate, boom, boom, boom. The Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Grace, truth, and peace to you. You see it throughout the Bible. And so what we see is that three different times God telling, and again, it's a literary device, you wouldn't know that because we're English speakers. Hebrew, three different times for emphasis, I'm with you. I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Notice in verse 5, twice he says, as I will be with Moses, so I will be with you. There's my presence. And in the next part of verse 5, I will never leave you or forsake you. Then you get to verse 6, be strong and courageous. Have you ever seen a cause and effect relationship between verse 5 and verse 6 before? He tells me, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to be with you. Then he says, be strong and courageous. I wonder if this is what's happening. I wonder if the principle is a failure to remember God's presence will likely lead me to worry and depression. And by the way, the converse is also true. Are you this morning worried, depressed, discouraged, uncertain, afraid? Then chances are this is where you're dropping the ball. Because in back-to-back verses, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Then he says, don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. I don't know about you, but that's severe truth for me. That's extremely helpful for me. I remember, some of you know, over on Main Street in Mishawaka, you know, where all those different things are on Main Street. There's a Culver's over there. You know what Culver's I'm talking about? We have three little granddaughters, and they are all in dance class. Shall I do that again? Somebody over here goes, no. They're in dance class, and so we would go to their recitals. And every time we go to the recitals, the tradition is we all as a family, they're two families and grandparents, both sets of grandparents, we go to Culver's. So we pull into Culver's, it's busy that night, and so when we park in the parking lot. One of our little granddaughters, her name is Brienne, Bree we call her, we get out of the car and we're going to cross the parking lot to go into Culver's. And so I grab a hold of Bree's hand. I mean, I got a death grip on her hand. And we're out of the car, and it's, okay, we're going to cross the parking lot, everybody, here we go. And so we're crossing a parking lot, and I've got Bree. We get up to the door to walk in, and she looks up at Judy, up at her grandma, and goes, I was holding onto Grandpa's hand. Now, the truth of the matter, who was holding onto who? I had a hold of her. I wasn't going to let go. Did that ever occur to you that it's the issue is not whether you're hanging on to the Lord? He's holding on to you. You ever think about that? He's holding on to you. We will say to the Lord, you know, I'm hanging on to the Lord by faith. That's the illusion you have. God's holding on to you. Because sometimes you got to cross a scary parking lot, don't you? And some of you are crossing parking lots like that right now. Okay, here we go. And this will be the last. I think the third key that we see in the passage is that Joshua was given promises. And God is going to fulfill his promise. He will. The issue that you and I struggle with, and we'll talk about this more in the weeks ahead, are timing issues. Is God true to his promises? Yes or no? Yes. When God makes a promise, does he keep his promise? Yes. You're holding on to one of God's promises right now? Yes or no? Yes. You just haven't seen the answer yet. It's a timing issue, see. And his times are not your times. His timetable. Notice in verse 3, we see a promise. I will, notice future tense, that's a timing issue. I will give you every place where you set your foot. Guess what? He hadn't set his foot yet. That's going to be a future promise. Verse 6, you will lead these people. I'm an English teacher. What's the tense of the verb? Future. I or you will lead these people. See, God had made promises. The issue was Joshua just needed to act upon those promises. And so if I'm Joshua, I'm going to think, okay, you give me promises. You promised to be with me. You're going to be with me, and you give me promises. Okay, I'm good with that. Now, what am I supposed to do now? And maybe you're asking that question. I don't know what to do. I get it that you're with me, and I get it that you've promised me, but what am I supposed to do? The text answers the question. Go back and look at the passage. Verses 10 and 11. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for you to own. You see, apparently God had told him, this is all I want you to do. Get ready to cross the Jordan. Yeah, but the river is swollen. Get ready to cross the Jordan. Well, I'm looking across the Jordan, I see Jericho, this big wall. Get ready to cross the Jordan. Yeah, but Joshua, all you have to do is get the, in 3 days, you're going to cross the Jordan. I will let you know, and we're going to talk about that next week. This is not easy. You got a swollen river. And it's ominous. And not only that, but on the other side of the river, it's Jericho. Now, see, I'm already two or three steps ahead going, yeah, but, blah, blah. And God goes, we're not dealing with that now. All I want you to do is get the people ready to cross the river. I wonder, all God wants you to do right now, with whatever the issue is, you're just going to take another step forward. You're going to take another step forward. Yeah, but what's that? God's got that out there. You take another step. You place your foot, and he'll show you. How long will it be till you get another senior pastor? I don't know. Is it going to be a younger guy or an older? I don't know. Will Pastor Joel and Judy be here until Christmas? I don't know. But you know what we're doing? We're taking another step. He says, I'm going to go with you. I've given you promises. You're going to be all right. You just take the next step. Sound fair? Let me see if I'm done. Nope. One more. This is the last. The other takeaway from the text is that remember that God's power is in his word. One of the ways to find courage, strength, and to fight discouragement is through the word. That's what verse 8 is about. Look at verse 8. I have it memorized in a different version. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it both day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Look at it again. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Interesting. Why would he say that? I would have thought he would have said, this book of the law shall not depart from your heart. It's not what he says. This book of the law shall not depart from your mind. It's not what he says. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. What's that mean? I think what that means is that we need to discuss it. I need to hear it preached from somebody's mouth. I need to discuss it with close friends. I need to talk about the word. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night. You see, the first step is discussing it. The second step is meditating upon it. The third step, if you look at the verse, is obeying it. And so I wonder if this might be true. I wonder if I discuss God's word with my spouse, my kids, close friends, and in a small group Bible study, as I discuss it and think about it and meditate upon it, my likelihood of obeying it will increase. Having trouble with obedience, then I wonder if maybe this is where I'm losing the battle up here. If I want to do this, obeying it, for those of you listening online, if I want to obey God's word, I think I'm going to have to increase my capability of discussing it, talking it through, and thinking about it. Because then the promise is given, you will have good success. I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me as we close in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that you are always with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. You've given us good, powerful promises. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us just to take that next step. Lord, you've seen my cell phone this morning and the issues that people are dealing with today. And I pray, Lord, that you'll waylay their fears, that you'll heal their brokenness, they're in pieces at points, and that, Lord, that you'll give them great assurance regarding uncertainties. We thank you, Lord, for the lessons we can learn from your word this morning, and pray that we may put them where they're not, that we may take them home with us in Jesus' name. Amen.